You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
And this is Dr. Mike. We'll get Joe on the phone, I hope, soon. In any case, we have a great show starting for you today. Just a wonderful show. Two spectacular guests. Anne Cryo Esselstyn has written the book, The Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease Cookbook, over 125 delicious, life-changing plant-based recipes. She'll be in the first hour. And if you're lucky enough to turn in for the second hour, and we do have 2 hours, you can always get them if they're not on, if you're leaving your radio station area, or you want to listen to them in replay, you can always get them on RadioMD.com. Or log in on the RadioMD.com. You can look at the archives shows, and you get all the shows all the way back for as long as you want to go back, all the way to 2001. Believe it or not, this weekend is our 14th year, starting our 14th year. We've just had our 13th year anniversary today. So it's 13 years of doing You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Our second guest in the second hour, in the half-hour point, is Mark Penn, a fantastic physician, cardiologist, researcher, innovator, who in fact has a theory that is well-developed. He's brilliant, so this is one that I think is very important. It is whether you heal by scars or by growths, and how you should change your life based on that result. That is, some people have tumors, they get develop colon cancer or something else when they heal. Some people develop bleeding and heal over with scars. Those are the two options, and they really reflect very different, very great differences. Same thing with your heart. For example, tobacco smokers either develop, if you will, lesions of cancer, or they develop heart disease, and they very rarely will develop the two. Well, that means that depending on how you heal, you should do very different things in preparation for that. And this is a huge subject and a very important one. We'll get more to it. You can always email us at youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com with questions during the show. We have a number of them. Gary Ginsberg's going to be on as well. And take the top environmental stories of the week. The other thing that I should tell you is that we have a lot of stories. So thank you. Muriel sent me a happy anniversary sound, a happy anniversary greeting, and we've got three others. So thank you all for sending happy anniversary for the show and sending it to udocs@gmail.com. You can always call us with questions as well at 1-877-711-5211. I'm hearing a echo, so I don't know whether that you're hearing one on the show as well. And I think it just went away, so I think it was something we were doing here. In any case, the show, the first story I'm going to talk about is wellness foreplay. That is, this is our wellness foreplay section, and it is what happens with artificial sweeteners. This is a very interesting story that was started in a group in Israel that looked at what happens when you get artificial sweeteners and use them in your coffee or anything else. What they did was a series of experiments that's really quite brilliant, and I'm going to get to the exact description of them, which is why I'm fumbling around. Here it is. Fumbling around a little bit because I want to tell you the exact story. So in the initial set of experiments, the scientists added saccharin, the sweetener in the pink packs of Sweet and Low, sucralose, the yellow packs of Splendor or Spartime, the blue packets of Equal, to the drinking water of 10-week-old mice. The control mice drank plain water or supplemented with glucose or ordinary table sugar. After a week, there was little change in the mice that drank the water and little change in the sugar water group. But the group getting artificial sweeteners developed marked intolerance to sugar, meaning their sugar levels built up in their blood so that when they had sugar, they didn't get it into their cells. We call that insulin resistance. In any case, they developed this marked intolerance to glucose. When the researchers treated the mice with antibiotics, killing much of the bacteria in their digestive system, this intolerance went away, suggesting that something in the artificial sweeteners was getting the mice to change the bacteria inside their gut. So they did a second experiment. They took the intestinal bacteria from the mice who drank saccharin-laced water and put them in the mice that had never been exposed to saccharin. Those mice that got the injections of these bacteria developed the same glucose intolerance. DNA sequencing of the bacteria showed that saccharin had markedly changed the variety of the bacteria in the gut of the mice that consumed the saccharin. They then did a third experiment. They looked at 381 non-diabetic participants, and they found a correlation between those who used artificial sweeteners and signs of glucose intolerance. In addition, the gut bacteria of those who used the artificial sweeteners were different. They then asked 7 volunteers. So this is the fourth experiment that they did. They asked 7 volunteers who normally did not use artificial sweeteners to consume saccharin for 6 days. 4 of the 7 developed this disruption of glucose processing, or we call it, again, insulin resistance. And when they took the human participants' bacteria and injected it into the intestine of mice, the animals again developed glucose intolerance, suggesting that this effect was the same in both humans and mice. What does that mean? What it seems to mean to me is that there's both a genetic and a environmental from the artificial sweeteners, development of glucose intolerance or insulin resistance caused by the bacteria in your gut. So the bacteria in your gut are called your microbiome. So we're learning a ton about how the microbiome is really going to change and is changing our total understanding. You have 10 trillion or more bacteria inside your gut, and what we're learning is that what you eat, what you do, really changes to a great degree the bacteria inside you. So it's a great surprise, obviously, to most of us that this actually occurs, but it is a true phenomenon, and so surprised me. Bridget, I hope you're on the line now. Do you have any comment about this?
I am on the line. Yes, I think that it's absolutely fascinating, especially because oftentimes when I'm talking to patients, one of the first questions that they ask is if diet soda is better. And for a long time, I think that people were recommending to switch from regular soda to diet as a way to wean off of it. But, I mean, according to this study, and it was only conducted in animals and obviously a small sample of people, so we need to know more. But according to the study, it might be even worse, potentially. So water is definitely the best solution.
Actually, coffee is the best solution, or even caffeinated water, I think. So I'm going to say that it was easy for me to wean off with coffee. As you know, Mehmet, Dr. Oz and Lisa got me to wean off of both of all diet soda drinks. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well. When we come back, a mineral deficiency that you need to get treated to prevent colds.
don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. You can get us on RadioMD.com, and we have about 30 what we call terrestrial stations, ground stations, regular stations on radio where we're carried. So we hope you listen to us on one of those. Or worst comes to worst, you can always plug in your computer to RadioMD.com. And, of course, our call is stay well. That is, we want you to stay well. So we love it when you do. And you can get your 10,000 steps a day listening to us. Well, 2 billion people have this mineral deficiency, which reduces the common cold. What is that mineral deficiency, Bridget?
Worldwide or in the United States?
Yeah, 2 billion worldwide. There aren't 2 billion people
here.
Well,
yeah, that's true. zinc?
I'll answer it for you. It is zinc. Did you say that?
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's perfect. So experts say as many as 2 billion people around the world have diets deficient in zinc. And studies at Oregon State University and elsewhere imply that even your immune function in fighting cancer, but certainly in fighting colds, is down or decreased when you don't have adequate zinc. So roughly 1 in 3 to 1 in 4 people in the United States is zinc deficient. The easy way is to take simple zinc lozenges without added ingredients or flavors. Although the zinc lozenges give you a metallic taste, they work much better than anything with anything else attached to them. So the plain zinc lozenges is the way to go. Now I have another totally different story that we're doing. That was well beyond wellness, but this one is even more important. This is what you can do so you don't have a Joan Rivers event happen to you. Roughly 2,000 people in the United States do. That is someplace over 18 million people in the United States get an endoscopy, that is a colonoscopy or an upper endoscopy, with just sedation. And 1 in 10,000 of those, or 2,000 a year roughly, die from it, like Joan Rivers died from it. It's obviously safer to do when you have an anesthesiologist there. But Joan Rivers didn't. And what went wrong was she essentially had an assault with battery and subsequent murder happen to her. That is, when a physician does a surgical procedure such as a biopsy without it being authorized, which it wasn't, that's called an assault and battery, and if the patient dies, that's called murder. So she had a really serious event happen to her. What should have happened? Well, she shouldn't have had anyone touch her vocal cords. When you touch the vocal cords and the patient is sedated, they can go into spasm. When you touch them and she's awake, they can often go into spasm, but at least she can recover, and you recover with what's called a last gasp and get oxygen in so you don't die. But when they go into spasm, when you're lightly sedated, you don't have that recovery. So what's the message for the rest of us? Make sure that if you're having an endoscopy, there's an anesthesiologist and a trained team there. A team would have saved her, but she didn't have a team. They weren't trained for this in the surgery center. So how do you train for it? How do you make sure it? You make sure that no one is going to do anything unauthorized on you. Make sure that you have a proxy there so that if someone has a unexpected finding, so they find something on your vocal cords, they can ask that proxy to, can we have permission to biopsy it? The proxy should then say, if there's a team here that does that routinely, and is prepared for all the emergencies that causes or could cause, then the answer is yes. Without that team there, you should say, no way, Jose, not at all. So what can you do to have a not have a Joan Rivers event? Make sure you have a proxy. Make sure the proxy specifies there's a trained team there if they do anything that you haven't signed for. Bridget, comments?
Yeah, I think that it's shocking that she died, and it's so upsetting to hear that it was something that could have easily been prevented had there been a more adequate team there to help.
Yep, people always develop a last gasp. Your job as an anesthesiologist is to make sure that you get 100% oxygen in on each of those last gasps so nothing happens that's bad. Are positive people really healthier? Perpetual optimists claim that their cheery disposition bring them better health. It turns out that theory is not all in their heads. There's real scientific evidence to support a positive attitude protects your mind and body. And everyone can benefit from that glass half full thinking. For example, optimistic people are half as likely to experience a heart attack or stroke compared to their less positive peers. Sometimes the correlations can be attributed to confounding factors, like the fact that happier people may be less likely to be obese, poor, or involved in healthy behaviors. But that's not true. People who think positively, live longer, are less likely to catch colds, better able to cope. They show that positive thinking can trump physical exhaustion. When physically fit men and women give themselves repeated motivational talks on stationary bikes in one study, they rode 18% longer before hitting the point of total exhaustion. So what if you aren't a natural optimist? Well, you can think and train yourself to think more positively, simple by practicing one simple skill. Crucial to being happy and healthy is the capacity to savor the moment, to appreciate the ongoing positive experiences. There are plenty of ways to do that. It's just taking note of small positive things in your life, like thinking about traffic as you walk by and think how miraculous it is that we have cars that we can afford. Optimists who never wear a seatbelt because they are certain they will not be in a car accident may put themselves at greater risk of injury than pessimists who are worried about a crash. So you've got to change some of your behaviors. But in the end, it's healthiest to expect the best and savor the good times. And that's a real story of the week. Now, next story is that healthy lifestyles prevent dementia. That is, you have a risk of dementia, all of us do, but it's 50% reduced if you control your diabetes, stop smoking, avoid obesity, and have a active lifestyle. So these researchers who published this study said that just managing smoking, managing diabetes, quitting smoking, controlling high blood pressure, walking that 10,000 steps a day, and managing your weight reduces the risk for dementia, even if you start late in life, and may reduce it more than even 50%. So, and this study looked at, we should do this as a national concern, because by 2050, there'll be a ton of us with dementia, and 71% of the total federal budget would be spent on paying for care of people with dementia if we don't change the way it goes. Bridget, what do you think?
I mean, I think that it's really incredible that more research is coming out that's looking at the risk factors that are associated with dementia, because they have seen that it's closely associated with similar things that we find in heart disease patients. And I think that
I'm going to break in. We'll come back and we will talk to Anne Esselstyn and Jane Esselstyn. Great book. You'll want to hear this.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. Let me read what Samuel L. Jackson wrote. In my lifetime, I've understood diet played a big role in the quality of my life. So I ate what I considered to be good for me. From childhood, the litany of eat your vegetables was drummed into me. Naturally, me being Southern, there was always meat served with those veggies. And most time it was used to flavor them. 64 years later, I met the Esselstyns, and they say, eat your vegetables, but eat them raw, or cooked with no oil. What? But I tried it. It's truly amazing what the things I already liked really tasted like. Even more amazing, the number of plant-based creations that are possible. I won't go into the gigantic health benefits that came my way as a result of my decision to go plant-based. But I will say that 30 lost pounds and an infinite number of compliments later, I'm more than happy. I hope you'll treat yourself to one of these recipes and just open that door. I guarantee you won't close it. That's Samuel L. Jackson, the actor who obviously got exposed to the Esselstyns. The Dr. Esselstyn, who works here at the Cleveland Clinic, wrote the book on prevent and reverse heart disease. This is how you implement it. So it's pretty easy to understand that if you go to a plant-based diet without oil, as Essie says, nothing with a face or a mother, you might get healthier. In fact, there's pretty darn good data that if you stick with that, you will get healthier. But the big question is, how do you do that and still enjoy your food? This cookbook answers that. The Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease Cookbook, over 125 delicious life-saving plant-based recipes. And we have both authors, Anne Cryle Esselstyn and Jane Esselstyn, her daughter, with us today. So it's from the family of the Esselstyns. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Hey, we have another thing to add about Sam Jackson. You know, he wrote a little bit more in that quote, and we wanted to share it with you. You know how if you ever watch television, you probably have seen him on the Capital One commercial saying, "What's in your wallet?" But what he wrote at the end of this blurb he offered for us was, "What's in your stomach?" And they decided they couldn't hijack Capital One's campaign, so they had to eliminate that part of the quote. But we loved it. Because he's
actually
got plants in his stomach.
What's in your stomach?
Yeah.
So we have a question from someone who on the email line, actually her name is Jane too. So Jane, maybe you should answer this one, but worst comes to worst, I'll take it actually. But
now Mike.
Jane, this is for you really. It says, I've been on a relatively heart healthy diet, only eating salmon, olive oil, and a few other things, but I'm starting to have chest pain. Will this diet help me, and how easy is it to stay on it?
Well, absolutely will help her. I mean, she keeps, as my dad would say, she keeps punishing her endothelial cells with the cholesterol and the fat from the salmon, as well as the olive oil and any other oil she's adding in her diet. My dad often says, I don't have a 90% diet or 75% diet or a relatively healthy, heart-healthy diet. It doesn't work. If people are having angina, as you would, I think you would totally agree, they really have to commit to going plant-based, give it a go for, you know, 4 weeks, then 8 weeks, 12 weeks, see how you feel, and you'll be amazed.
It's totally magic. This is Anne now. It's totally magic what...
Actually, the most interesting thing is you two sound so much alike,
well,
I never will be able to tell who's speaking.
And I'm Jane.
It is magic what happens when you really do this program 100%. If you have angina, it will go away.
Now, you've got 125...
Definitely, get rid of that oil.
Thank you for the question, Jane.
Now, you've got 125 different recipes here. Why so many, I guess, and do they all taste great? Are they easy to cook? How long should you plan on cooking when you're cooking this? Can you get them from a restaurant? What do you do with a restaurant?
Now, Mike, you are a cook. I know you're a cook, and everything varies. We've got really simple things to things that take a little longer, but nothing really complicated because neither of us are, so to speak, fancy chefs. We're just cooks.
We make good food and food that we can eat, that sustain us. We have got kids, my parents' grandchildren, and they're all athletes. And I mean, my daughter has just won states in the Tour de IM as a freshman. And my son is 6'4". These people, they grow, they have energy, they have joy. It's going to feed you. We actually had 300 recipes, to tell you the truth, for this book. And we had to get it down to 125, but we said no. We have it at 140, and we can't go any fewer because we love them all, and we've got to get them out there.
So the
wow, that's great.
Now, one of the things that you told me early on is I said I like to sauté vegetables. What do I do instead? And you said just add water. Tell the audience what you mean by that.
Any liquid works. Forget the oil. Get rid of the oil. It's not in your cupboard, so you're desperate. What can you use? Any liquid. You can use water. You can use wine. You can use beer. You can use vinegar. You can use vegetable broth. You can buy those vegetable broths. You could use vinegar, anything that is liquid, and you don't want to steam. You want to just put bits of liquid in. It's amazing drops. It's amazing, like things like onions are filled with water, and they cook by themselves.
Let me just add, this is Jane now, that oftentimes if you're the vegetable you're starting to cook with in your pan, let's say it's an onion, and we talk about how to caramelize onions and mushrooms, you put them in a pan just with heat. So when you say sautéing, I kind of want to know what you mean. Do you mean cooking the vegetables slightly? Do you mean just cooking them through and through? People, it varies because sautéing often means like putting this layer of chapstick. I'm sorry, I mean wax. I'm sorry, oil around your vegetables. we're not doing that. It's just the essence of the vegetables comes out itself. The onions release their fluid. The mushrooms release their fluids. Peppers release their fluids. And you often don't need to add much at all. If you're finding you have to add a lot, turn the heat down a little bit so your vegetables cook and they're not sort of browning too much. Add a little bit of fluid, it lifts the browning out of the pan and it caramelizes your vegetables. But oftentimes you don't even use anything, just heat.
Is there too much sugar in the diet then? If you caramelize, isn't that getting sugar? So we have another question.
Caramelize, do you know what that word means in the cooking? There's no sugar added. It's the natural sugar from Mother Nature who got it right.
So when I use the word sauté, sauté is from the French to move quickly. So what sautéing is really putting something in a fry pan, if you will, or a grill pan, and moving that quick enough so it doesn't burn but gets heated well enough. And I used to use, before I talked to you guys, a little olive oil with it. So you can do this without olive oil, with just a little
Absolutely.
Water.
Look at page 27.
Literally drops of water,
yeah.
and you build a strong right or left arm as you move the pan, the grill or fry pan quickly over the burner.
Yeah, well, and page 27 is the recipe for sautéed onions, and it really is turn on the pan till it's high heat, so hot that a drop of water when you put it in the pan does not dissolve, but it beads around like a pearl. Then it's ready. Put your onions in, and they just go bing, and they cook right away, and you slowly decrease the heat when your onions are browning, cooking as you like, and there you go. So you're moving
them
quickly.
When we come back, When we come back, I'm going to ask you about your favorite recipes, why they are your favorite, and what recipe you think people will like most to try first. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We're talking with the authors of the Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease Cookbook, over 125 delicious, life-saving plant-based recipes by the Esselstyns. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Stay well.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. Stay well. You can always email us at UDOCS, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, at gmail.com, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S at gmail.com. There's an interesting question from a John. This is a interesting question because he says, I've got a Nature Valley crunchy granola bar, oats and honey in front of me. It has nothing in it that was made from with a mother or a face.
No,
it does have yellow corn. It has honey, soy flour, brown sugar syrup, salt, soy lecithin, he says, and whole grain oats. Would that constitute a thing?
No, because first of all, look, there's honey, and then you said, what was that, brown sugar or something, too sweet.
And then rice syrup.
If they had chosen one sweetener, it would have been the first ingredient. So eat your oats. Eat your whole grains. Don't eat those bars. They're just junk.
That's a candy bar because if they put all those, like she said, all those together, sugar would have been the first ingredient or sweeteners. And the guidelines for our cookbook and for the way that Dr. Russellson, my father's, planned for patients with heart disease is no meat, no dairy, no added oil, minimal salt, minimal sweet. And that Nature Valley granola bar is the maximum sweet they could put into that bar, and those three different versions of sugar are proof of that.
We should say if you want more information, you can go to the website, Dr. Esselstyn, DrEsselstyn.com, DrEsselstyn.com. If you're in Cleveland, you can come to our wellness bookstores, our wellness stores, and we now have it. We didn't have it a couple weeks ago because the book just came out.
Well, they can go to Amazon. We're number one in heart health on Amazon. You can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. Good.
Yeah.
And now, what's your favorite diet?
Well, when Essie and I first started
dish?
Dish, yes. Our first thing starting was rice and beans. And in truth, rice and beans has continued to be our favorite meal, our go-to meal. It's our Christmas Eve meal when we have family. It's our birthday meal. We have a granddaughter who has a birthday today, and they come here to our house for dinner, and her request was black beans. Actually, it's Matt's Sofrito black beans right from this cookbook. They're awesome. Just awesome. And what's so nice is you can put all kinds of salsas and things. Our mango lime salsa is just to die for.
Page 120.
And by the way, people are asking, there's a couple questions here about can you get this when you eat out or can you order it in like Nutrisystems? That is, do they have a delivery service for any of these recipes?
Well, if you send them the book, the restaurant or Nutrisystem, send them the book ahead of time and ask them to incorporate it. I mean, why not? If you're paying for this service, hooray. Restaurants don't mind oftentimes helping their customers eat well, especially if it's a sort of a fancy restaurant and they have a chef there who's not just getting things out of the line, but someone who likes the challenge of cooking with no oil, adding no salt, and trying to make it taste great. I know Fire in Shaker Square here in Cleveland, they really were wonderful when we were doing a study that had pediatric kids with obesity and high cholesterol. With family members who are cooperating with them on this diet, they said, hey, for the month of your study, we will offer a meal compliant to your guidelines. And it was amazing. It was such a wonderful dish. It was such a great meal. And it makes you wish they had it there all the time, not just the 1 month of the study.
Now, what dish would you tell people? And Jane, tell me your favorite first.
Well, I have three kids, and I always say that's like asking me who's my favorite kid. So it's an illegal question. But I would ask the person, what do you like to eat? If someone loves soups, it sounds like, Bridget, like you love soups. Soups you can't really lose because everybody, it's warm, it's they're hearty, they're yummy, they're flavorful. So I'd say go with soups. I personally love a variety of things. So I like to have, you know, this the great like Pacific Rim soba noodles, or I love having Jen's potato salad with fresh dill. You know, if we're having a big family feast with all 20 Esseltons around, we make Brian's stuffing. Brian's my husband. He's a better chef than all of us combined by far. But the jalapeno and salsa corn muffins, if we were doing this show live with you, I would have brought those muffins in to feed you. You would have loved them. And mommy's
mushroom
gravy.
You still
gravy.
Can. I'm not that far from you.
Oh, well, but then why were we invited to come to see you?
This is Anne. The thing that has surprised me with this cookbook is what people choose and they love, and they aren't necessarily what I would say, oh, go try this. It's just a crazy variety that people seem to have liked.
And there's a lot of variety.
I would have brought you the most amazing thing. I would have brought you the kale cake with blueberry frosting. We had a great review on Amazon yesterday. Someone said, this cake looks like it fell off of Venus, but it is amazing. It's a green cake with purple frosting. It does look like it's made by Dr. Seuss.
What should people start with? If someone wants to start, is there something you say, start with this?
Rice and beans.
Well, everyone's rice different. I'd say soup, or go for the cauliflower buffalo wings. I mean, whatever's familiar to them. Because if people think they're going to eat dust and twigs and salad, I would just have them start with something that's kind of hearty, chili.
Chili and lasagna. What do you say to people that still have the perception that eating healthy whole foods is more expensive?
I'd say they haven't looked at their bill.
Yeah, beans are pretty. Beans are pretty. Still pretty inexpensive, and rice. Brown rice is still pretty darn inexpensive. Yeah.
I mean, I buy like a pound of black beans. It's like 99 cents in some stores. I swear.
Yes,
you
it is.
Get the fancy hand ripened or whatever they're called.
You probably can get. I used to get, and I don't know if we still do because I don't do as much shopping as I used to. But we used to get these big things of brown rice and beans at Costco that were amazingly inexpensive, and you could make a meal for 10 for under about $5.
Yeah, so, I also understand that Costco has kale and all kinds of things that are even organic kale. I mean, all those greens are something else that we strongly recommend that people eat in abundance and incorporate into everything they're eating.
So I have to say goodbye. Well, we should have you back, but it's the Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease Cookbook from Avery. You can go to Amazon or anyone else, www.drdresselstyn.com for more information. Thank you both. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD.